You're listening to Westside Church. For more information, visit us at westsideinfo.com.
Guys, I'm very, very happy to be sharing with you guys tonight. But well, I'm not sharing you a piece of Alan Shearer. I'm sharing you a piece of God and a piece of Ted Shimmer and all the great work he's done. It's not my testimony time tonight, but I want you guys to know that I've really been in this fight before in my life, and I've had total victory. It was a blessing, and has been a blessing, and it's a everyday fight. It's not, you know, the pull has always gone less and less away, and there's always, and the more success you have, the better you, the less pull there is. But it is such a blessing to have overcome this in my own life that I am privileged to be up here speaking to you about. I'm privileged to be sharing with men younger than me who I provide some accountability to, and I really care for this subject a ton. I'm passionate about it. I had to be to get out of this. The change came, you guys, because I got pissed. I was angry. I was shameful. I was ticked off, and I was done. And that's a lot of what it took. It's an unrelenting fight against the pull, that sin nature we have. And I'm here to say, let's go. Let's get in this, and let's all win. I've talked a lot about this. My own group with some young men we have. My own personal thing is it's a change in attitude. There's a change, and I preach this. As I've been a cop for about 23 years? Can we call ourselves cops? We fight crime. Anyways, there's a change that I think it takes place. A citizen, let's say there's some women being raped. There's a woman being raped, and you come along and you have a chance to stop that. A citizen is happy when he intervenes, he saves a girl, and the guy takes off running, but he saved that girl. The change when you're battling porn is no. We're not just stopping this. We're not stopping this rape. We're going to apprehend the subject. We're going to wrestle him down, put him in a chokehold and a half Nielsen, and we're going to hold on to him until we have him in handcuffs and we prosecuted and brought him to the judge and jury. That's a change in attitude. We're no longer just citizens, but we're cops. And we're taking this villain down. I want to honor the elders. This is, you guys, this is great that we're actually doing this at our church. The book is incredible how it explains the grip it has upon the church right now. So I really want to thank the elders for doing this. It's very important. It's been important in my life. I want to say, if you guys are taking this class, you're drafted. Whether you like it or not, you're drafted, because it is on the church so bad. The future leaders are so under attack and probably dealing with this, unfortunately, in such a way that those of us that have success, you're drafted, you're a leader now. You got to grab about 4 or 5 young guys around you, or old guys, it doesn't matter. We got to bring them into victory. This book, Ted Shimmer, that he writes, and he's a faithful servant. He is so skilled at his theology. 30 years of practice, I think he had. Over that time, he refined it and he put it in this book. And the way he's put it together, you guys, buy the book. If you don't have it, buy the book, because it's incredible. This was my first book. I was back. My dad recommended this one too. Every Man's Battle. Anyone ever go through that? Sweet book. But this is way more sophisticated. And it's really good. They're both good. All right, with that, I want to go over the end of chapter 10. I want to briefly go over chapter 10, because that was good, and it leads into 11, 12. I know the next several weeks, Joe Moore is going to be taking on. Whoop, whoop. That's our own Joe Moore. He's going to be taking on the chapters of shame. But this book is so good. I will use it a lot. I'll read from it a ton. So don't get upset. This guy is very skilled. And so I want to read from him. And I want to start when it was talking about the limbic. Any guys remember when Chuck brought up the limbic system? The limbic system. Let me read from you what the expert says. The limbic system is a complex network of nerves in the center of our brain that contains the pleasure center. It is involved in behaviors related to one's survival. In other words, fight or flight. The limbic system is sometimes called the emotional brain and operates with the safety first focus. When someone touches a hot stove, their limbic system doesn't wait for the brain to analyze the situation. It moves them to pull their hand away before they can consciously think. The limbic system works in the human brain to assign value and attach emotion to behavior. It rewards the behavior that it wants you to remember and repeat with dopamine. Oh. It attaches specific emotions to experiences so that we'll pursue what felt good and avoid what felt bad. And this system gives the highest reward it can for an orgasm. When someone gratifies himself by watching porn, the brain makes note of this very positive experience to remind them to repeat it. It rewards your brain with dopamine, and your brain gets hooked on it. As they do, those connections grow stronger and stronger, and the porn rut in the brain deepens. This is where our will comes into play, and the book talks about it a ton. I got some verses. Our hallmark verse, 1 Corinthians 9:27. This was maybe my hallmark verse. But I discipline my body and keep it under control. This is 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I discipline my body and keep it under control. The word that Paul uses for discipline literally means disciplined with hardship. It means you're tough on yourself. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside, I love this verse, also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. The book goes over this acronym. We've added to it, but I'm going to stick with just BRACE tonight, Mike. Because he really pushes the acronym BRACE. BRACE, the reason why he pushes the acronym BRACE and going through it is because he intends for us to retrain our brain pathways for God's sake and for purity. You guys remember BRACE? BRACE. Breathe deeply. Hey, you guys, the Navy SEALs, in the book, he talks about the Navy SEALs use this. We can use this too. It's common. I caught myself. I do it at work. I do it when I got to take a deep breath and listen to my wife. It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing, you guys. It's a smart thing if you listen to your wife. But I catch myself in my older age. As I get older, I get a little bit wiser, hopefully. And I just go like, And they say to do it four in, hold for four. Mm-hmm. I don't think I can do that. But I do it. I do it at work when I got to listen to someone. I remind myself in that moment, no, people are important. I have ADHD. Maybe those of you, though, I don't officially have it, but those of you close to me may know it already. But man, I could think 1,000 words a second. I can go off, and I could go off on a tangent and train thought easily, like I could right now. But this has really helped me bring it under control. And this is what Shimmer's after, just a deep breath to maintain your composure. When you're getting tempted, gather yourself. Remember the truth. He says, remember truth. On page 146, he puts a truth like this. Memorizing God's word can help you recall the truth and his promises in times of temptation. Help of verses, the pure in heart will see God, Matthew 5:8. Consider yourself dead to sin, but alive to God, Romans 6:10-11. The one I really love, you are no longer a slave, but a son. That has double meaning. I'm no longer a slave to sin, but I'm not just a young punk kid. I'm adopted by God. I'm royalty. Or is that ask God for, okay, that was remember the truth. A, ask for God's help. Hebrews 12:1. I love that. I'm going to read again. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. C is call an accountability partner. Do you have an exit buddy? That's Nemo. Okay. You guys, that was supposed to be funny. But do you have an accountability partner, guys? It's important. E, escape the situation. In these chapters, in chapter 10, and even more so in 11 and 12, he's talking about fleeing isolation. He's talking about fleeing isolation. Isolation, my brothers, and porn in this book and in his research go hand in hand. Boredom too. If you sit around and you got nothing to do, stupid's coming your way. In this, his object, his purpose for going over brace, he says do it a minimum of 3 times a day. 3 times a day, whether you're tempted or not, go through brace. Because he wants us to renew our mind. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, acceptable, and perfect. I added, though we may think we're going through suffering at the time in my battles, oh my gosh, I thought I was suffering. Romans 8:18, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy comparing with the glory that is to be revealed with us. Three times a day, he wants you to go through brace. Page 152. Brace is a powerful tool. This is why. We, meaning these guys in Freedom Fight, surveyed Freedom Fight users to evaluate the life change they experienced through the program. The survey included both current and former Freedom Fighters. That's good. Yeah. Before starting the Freedom Fight, 49% of users watch porn 3 or more times a week, and 18% were using porn daily or multiple times a day. However, after going through the program, or most of it, only 3% used porn 3 times a week or more. None used it daily. That was brace. When someone starts using brace for tempting thoughts or triggers, and we go through triggers a lot, they begin to saturate their minds with the word of God. Transformation happens when someone replaces meditating on porn with meditating on the word of God. What a person meditates on changes them. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make. Listen, dude, if you want to swallow in your sin, you want to wallow in your sin and be miserable. I think a man, what is it? A man What comes to mind is a man actually will make time. He will seize control by his willpower and by his accountability. Really, it's the accountability of those around him to make time. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So that we'll be protected.
And not only that, if I had time to watch porn.
Turn it off. Good point. Chuck, good point, man. Yeah. My word shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. The first verse tells us that we should soak our minds in God's word so we will obey.
What's the verse?
This is Isaiah 55:11. I'm going to fly through some verses. They're all good. They're all straight out of the Bible. The first verse tells us that we should soak our minds in God's word so we will obey it and have success. The second verse promises that God's word will do the work in our lives that God desires. His word is powerful, and research shows its impact. I had to get to this. A study by psychologist Dr. Paul Muir revealed, this is obvious. I don't know why we need a research, a professional to do this. Those who practice almost daily scripture meditation are significantly healthier and happier than those who do not. Yeah, it's true. Anyways. So you guys, in chapter 10, there is what's called a relapse contract. Watch this. I want to show you guys something. Do you guys have the church app?
Church app, there are handouts if you have it. If you don't have it, we've got handouts to have it, and it's in the church app.
Watch this. Watch. I think I can do this. Watch how fast I can get to. Okay, there it is. Put my finger point on there. Go over here, hit more, hit groups, hit men's group, resources, relapse contract. Bam, I hit that. View. That's how fast I can get to the relapse contract. That's also how fast I can get to porn. Isn't that interesting? Only a couple buttons and I get to this relapse contract, but only a couple buttons and a couple entries and I can be at porn just as fast. So that's the problem we're facing. Porn, you guys, is more available than any drug that's out there. I can get the porn faster for free, and I can get porn faster. I mean, if I want to go get some crack, I got to go find some peddler down at the corner market somewhere, right? And then I got to pay for it. Porn's faster. And this, even worse than that, how fast I can get the porn. Have any of you guys watched The Social Dilemma? Yeah. Once you get on this thing, and once you press a couple porn sites, they got an algorithm on you. And then they're going to start throwing it at you. Mm-hmm. So this phone has never seen porn. Neither phone before, neither this iPad. Never, ever, ever seen porn. I will not yield to that doggone algorithm that Google or whoever has out there. There's no room. There's no 99%. It's 100% or all, or die trying. It's like the guys on the beach. Get off the beach or die. Remember that part? Yeah, that's what it's like. All right, this is about the, here it is. Here. No, let me have one. Well, let me have one both.
Yeah.
Okay. The relapse contract. You guys, this is a cool tool and I want to go over it. You should, thank you. Mm-hmm. Give my hand right here.
Yep.
Okay. What's really cool, you know, when a plane crashes, you guys, they always go out to this little black box. And this black box is indestructible. And they jump in and they search the crash site and then they find the black box and then they play the black box. And the black box can tell them a lot of what went wrong in the crash. Hey, man, we got half our wing missing. I don't know if we're going to be able to stay up. Hey, man, engine went out on the other side. We're going down. Okay. that is said, the pilots say those things, then they know pretty much what happened. This is a crash report. And this is really important. It's accessible now right here. A couple buttons, a couple fingerprints, a couple things. And I won't go through it all other than I'll say this. It's a crash report on where you went wrong. Where it might reveal, like in the book, on page 155, in the book, you can examine, well, actually, you can, with this relapse contract, you can examine what went wrong. Were you alone on the weekend? Was your wife out of town? Did you have idle time on your hands? Were you flipping through channels late at night? Did you go to bed with your porn? Did you go to bed with your phone right next to you when your wife wasn't home? This will tell you your crash report, and it's available.
I'm sorry. This isn't really the crash report, right? This is a relapse contract.
Yes. It's
the crash report's totally different.
In the book, no, the crash report is actually on a plane, and it's in the black box. I was referring to it like a crash report because in the book, as you go through this and as you fill this out and you show your partners this, you can actually narrow down to what is causing you, what is triggering you, what is tempting you. And I was giving some examples of what they might
be.
But
that's not that. That's the contract.
Oh, you're right. No, I see. The other ones, the other one we'll make available to you if you don't have it available to you. Where is it? Let me look. Oh, the relapse contract. The relapse contract. There it is.
Oh, so you don't have the crash
report. Yeah.
No, we don't have the crash
report. Yeah, we don't.
We'll get the crash report.
It's the wrong one. We'll get it up. There it is. It's on page 156 if you got the book. Anyways, it's a real good tool for narrowing down on what's going on and your temptations or your triggers. We have an issue with porn in our society. He breaks it up in three groups. Our society, you guys already know this, is very sexualized. Sex sells. It's everywhere. And the interesting thing, and I share this a lot with my guys in my group, the interesting thing, as you experience or as you go through your trials and tribulations on completely going after 100%, God raises the bar, continues to raise the bar on you. I remember at one time I thought it was really cool if I didn't look at porn at all, like 100% for a month, right? But then later on he upped it to just, do I take a second look just at a girl walking down the sidewalk? He ups it up into my personal life. What are my thoughts are if I'm stepping into the shower? He ups it up. What about masturbation? Mm-hmm. He keeps upping it. There is not a ceiling to our sexual integrity, guys. It's infinite. There's not a I have arrived time. It's always, I'm going after better and better. I mean, look at the Olympic athletes. If they settled for breaking a 5-minute mile, hey, I made it. You wouldn't even make the Olympics. You got to get under 4 now. You got to be breaking sub 4-minute mile. And what happens if they thought that could never be done? There's not a ceiling on this guy. Going into chapter 11, let's see, yeah, going into chapter 11, he talks about isolation. And we're going to read this really cool experiment he do in chapter 11. No, I don't want to. No, that's the wrong one.
Oh,
forget that one.
All right.
So this is a cool experiment, you guys, and it's very revealing. The researchers put a rat alone in a cage with two bottles. One had normal water and the other had morphine drug water. The rat almost always chose the drugged water until it became addicted and eventually died. The theory that the drug's chemicals caused addictive behavior seemed validated. Later in the same decade, however, psychologist Bruce Alexander, this guy was way smarter or just more complete in his work, did another experiment. He thought that perhaps the rat chose drugs because it was bored and lonely and isolated in its isolated cage. So Alexander constructed what he called Rat Park. Rat Park provided plenty of activities, friends, and mates, everything a rat could ever want. Though the rats who lived in Rat Park were still given access to drugged water, they chose the normal water instead. The experiment concluded the rats in Rat Park rarely used drugged water, none ever used it compulsively, and none of them overdosed. The researchers took Rat Park experiment one step further. They placed rats in isolated cages for 57 days. That's a long time. It's kind of like what we do in prison, don't they? Over that time, the lonely rats drank the drugged water compulsively and developed a strong addiction. The scientists then moved these addicted rats into Rat Park. As the rats spent more time in Rat Park, they gradually reduced. They gradually reduced their drug use. Eventually, all the rats gave the drugs up completely and were drug free for the rest of their lives. The conclusion is there is power and healing in community. Yeah, that's like biblical. These guys are behind. Why don't they just read the Bible? We didn't even need an experiment on rats. These guys are messing with rats. We already knew this. Sex addiction authority, Dr. Patrick Karn, surveyed over 600 recovered sex addicts. He identified the two most important factors they said helped them find freedom. The number one factor was reliance on God. The second factor was a small group connection. A small group brings acceptance, safety, accountability, encouragement, and processing that can't be found any other way. Amen. Mm-hmm. That's what we really, wouldn't you guys agree that's what we really have in the church? Yeah. Yeah. That's what we're after in the church.
Two are better than one. Fall down, fix them up, somebody say it correctly.
Amen. Any other? Proverbs 18:1, one of my favorites. Oh, I like it. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. The lie is to hide your sin, and don't buy that lie. Any comments on a church community? Any comments on this so far? Anything hit you?
I've had a thought for a while.
Hit it.
I don't have an answer. I'm just going to throw it out there. But WAG, Women.
Women's
Adventure Group.
Oh, that was much easier than I thought.
I've often joked with Levi's mom, like, what's up with the women? Like, doing all the fun, adventurous things. What were the men do? And I'm not complaining at all. And she always looks at me and says, well, then you just plan some stuff. And I'm like, yeah, but you're too busy. we do some stuff. I've missed out on some of them, but I guess the question is anyone else like me overworking
yep.
and under
Ties. Yep.
I think we need a cool name first. Get the cool name and then
yeah. We got it, Mag.
Yeah, we got Mag.
Like a magazine, we got it, Mag. Okay, I got a quick comment about it.
Call it Rat Park.
Bingo time! That was good! Rat Park! Why not? We could come up with a crazy acronym for it, man. Alright, but if I'm doing some activity, hey, write it down. If I'm doing some Rat Park activities, guys, we're going to be going to Cal Bear games. I'm not doing a hike in the woods. It's great, but we're going to football games and baseball games. So, yeah. So, yeah, getting together for some Catan would be cool too. But honestly, you guys, I got to bring it back around to this. Those things are awesome and they're great for building. They really are, and I probably need them. But what Ted Shimmer really focuses on is these small groups, and we'll get into it more in just a little bit. These small groups that are authentic, that aren't faking, but they're not hiding secrets, and they're dedicated to telling each other the truth and selling all out. I'd love to go to a big Cal Bear game with you guys and wear a bunch of conservative Christian Cal fan t-shirts and just see what happens. But you also need to time with about one or two fellas, three or four, to really hold you to account. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another. This is how my dad used to talk to me. So I'm going to talk to you guys that way too. I repeat stuff. James 5:16, therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. You guys, we have a wealth, especially at Westside. There is something special here. There is something special in this place, and that is community's done well here. We are rich. I don't know what your monetary value is, but you are rich. Jonah, you are rich. You got a bunch of young men over there. You are rich, man. I don't know how much money you make. It doesn't matter because you're a rich man with your sons and your family. He's ready for more. He's gonna be rich.
That was Malachi.
I like that. We're rich. Westside is neat. Westside does a great job at building community. You're crazy if you leave. But I've seen a lot of churches, and this is one of the top-notch churches that does community well. And we're wealthy here. We're wealthy here. What is the first commandment say when Jesus was talking to they were trying to trick him in Matthew 22:37-40. And the second. Woo! You bet. I'm going to read it anyways. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. For this is in the Bible, according to Nacho Libre. The Bible says you shall love your neighbor. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Genesis 2:18 says, Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man. It is not good that man should be alone. We're to be built up in community. Community is the key. Mm-hmm. And sadly, some of us, we don't take advantage of it. In 68. This is sad. Sadly, today's younger generations are the loneliest in U.S. history. Mm-hmm. A recent survey showed, now, I think we have some of the most bad little group of youngsters here in this church. I'm very involved with them. I'm not sure it applies to you, but let it hit where it hits. And this is some for you older folks to think about what these youngsters are going through and what porn does to you as it isolates you. Sadly, today's younger generations are the loneliest in U.S. history. A recent survey showed 30% of millennials born from 1981 to 1996, they are lonely, and 22% say they have no friends. Gen Z, born from the late 1990s to the 2010s, are even lonelier. Pornography provides a fantasy place someone can go to feel accepted and desired by others. Porn and hookups provide fake intimacy, just like social media, that makes them more tempting beyond just sexual pleasure. If there was a lack of intimacy in someone's family growing up, they may be more susceptible to the draw of artificial intimacy. Isolation makes people hungrier for the intimacy they really want. And as I read this this part of the book, you guys, I realized, just a side note for me, you know, these people who are lonely are ripe for the gospel. They're so ripe for the gospel. There's more lonely people these days, teenagers. Guys, there are more lonely teenagers out there these days. We could be ushering these people into the kingdom because we got community. We got community. We have real authenticity. In chapter 11, he brings up Ted Shermer brings up this thing called oxytocin. You guys ever heard of oxytocin? Oxytocin combined with dopamine is a biochemical love potion. Let me read you what they say. Behavioral therapist Andrea Kozeski calls the dopamine oxytocin combo released in the brain during orgasm a biochemical love potion. This is why after having sex, a couple is more inclined to form an emotional attachment. The biochemical love potion is also released when a person uses porn. When someone watches porn, they are bonding with it. Kozeski says, she goes on to explain that those chemicals make you want to keep coming back to have that feeling. This is why people develop a neurological attachment to porn. Some people refer to this as porn dating. You know, porn doesn't have to be something that you look at every day for hours and hours. A porn problem for us as Christians is something that maybe you binge every 2 or 3 months. That's also what we're talking about. We're talking about a chemical, according to these people, we're talking about a biochemical love potion, oxytocin combined with dopamine. And what we do, as Matt explained earlier, you guys, when those things are released in our brains, we lay tracks down in our brain. We lay these ruts. I think I said it in here before. I remember I used to go dirt biking. I was never that good, but I was good enough to be dangerous. Like, I was good enough to stay on my bike and maybe get in a real bad accident. And I remember the four-wheel drive vehicles would go down and they caused 2 ruts in the dirt road. And I remember when I was on my dirt bike, if you get stuck in one of those ruts, it is bad. You're going to wipe out. One time, you guys, I wiped out and I don't know where my gloves went. They were on my hands. and I mean, like, boom, I turned around, I'm facing the other way and I'm sliding because I was going fast. And I mean, it happened like that. I was down and my gloves were gone. I never found those gloves, man. I never found those gloves. They were gone. But we lay these ruts down in our brain, and our brain gets addicted and wants to take, it's like electricity, the shortest path, the path that it's used to. And it takes breaking out of isolation, mm-hmm. and it takes the word of God, it takes brace and building a community to break even the smallest of habits. Because mm-hmm. we're after 100%. That's what this book taught me. This book taught me 98% is not beating porn. I always thought, oh, that's an A. That's man, that's a good grade. That's a good grade. I settled for 78%. 70% in college, maybe 69 something. But 98% is not where after. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes to not look lustfully upon a woman. The standard is 100%. On page 167, this blew my mind. Often a porn addict has their favorite porn clip that they climax to over and over. They look at many clips, but they return to the one they have bonded to. And for the married addict, bonding to porn can undermine bonding to their spouse. While having sex with their spouse, many porn addicts will replay their favorite porn clip in their minds. What should be a bonding moment between husband and wife is actually a continuation of their bonding to a porn clip. Fortunately, this can be changed as the porn user starts being present and disciplined in their mind while having sex with their spouse. The result of this shift is a focus on better sex, better bonding with their spouse, a better marriage. Marriage the way God intended. In an extensive study on how pornography use impacts relationships, relationship quality, dozens of national surveys. Oh, I remember. Have you ever heard the lie? Have you guys ever heard the lie? Oh, porn spices things up. Dan, I know you have. These dummies that work, oh my gosh, they try to tell me this stuff. And it's so, I take such pleasure, and sorry, I do, and just slowly tearing them down. Not tearing them down, like making fun of them, but you just back them into a corner. Oh, didn't you take an oath with your wife to forsake all others? Didn't you do that? Well, don't you think that if the more discipline I add to my life and the more devoted I become to my wife, don't you think that benefits my marriage? And inevitably these guys are going, yeah, but what? That's really what comes out of their mouth. That's like a repeat.
Nervous chatter, right?
It's just a bunch of nervous chatter. Well done. Isolation and porn go hand in hand. Porn isolates people. Why do you suppose it isolates people? And I'm really throwing that out there. I'm really asking that question.
Because deep in our hearts, we know it's shameful. We have to hide it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What else? Well, you ain't going to look at it with anyone else, probably.
It's not something to share. Let's go check out some porn.
Some guys get dumb enough to do that. Porn isolates people. Listen to this. A recent study in the Journal of Sex and Marital Therapy reported a strong association between loneliness and pornography use. Put simply, if a person is chronologically lonely, they're far more likely to use porn on a regular basis. Still, it's hard to know which comes first, isolation or porn use, because porn and isolation feed one another. Mm-hmm. Porn leads to isolation, and isolation leads to porn. No wonder those who use porn report more loneliness. During their addiction, many porn users can't see how significantly porn isolates them from others. But after they've used it, their loneliness returns even stronger. To combat isolation and porn use, it's important to develop authentic relationships. This is one of the reasons Brace has proven to be such a powerful tool. The person who uses it regularly breaks isolation regularly. It fosters authentic relationship. Noah and his friends jokingly called the Freedom Fight group Rat Park because of how instrumental the group was in helping them walk in freedom. They held each other to account, practicing brace. They held each other to account, practicing brace. They confessed the relapses. We're not talking about just people who are constantly looking at porn. We're talking about people who also can't help themselves but to look at porn every 2 or 3 months. Mm-hmm. Confessed relapses and celebrated victories, including being honest and open about their struggle. They took time out of their lives when a member reached out for help. They practiced calling and following up too. And as a result, the group experienced a depth of relationship Noah had never had before. Mm. Beauty out of ashes. Mm. Beauty out of ashes. And this depth of relationship helped him overcome. During Noah's junior year, he was in a fraternity. He was at his fraternity, and there was a party, fraternity party. At the end of the party, he walked a girl home to make sure she was safe. When they reached her apartment, she propositioned him. Noah said, hooking up was my main struggle. So when she came onto me, my brain just shut off and I was rattled. Before Christ, this was my fantasy, but I love Jesus. And in pursuing purity, I literally couldn't think of anything besides to just get out of there. So I just started walking away and was totally spiraling, honestly considering getting after it with this gorgeous girl. So out of training and practicing brace, I took out my phone and just started calling the guys from Rat Park. We might have to do Rat Park. When I got one of the guys on the phone, he talked me off the ledge. I drove to his house and stayed the night so I wouldn't be alone. Hmm. Chapter 11, and all of chapter 11, he spends a lot of time and talking how brace builds community. Hmm. Once again, breathe deeply. Remember the truth. Remember what God has done for you. Remember shame. Shame was good for me. Hmm. I always think of Captain Kirk. Captain Kirk was, I like my shame. It makes me who I am. You know, I stay away. I don't like guilt and I don't like shame, so I like staying away from it. A, ask God for help. Call an accountability partner is C. And E, escape the situation to community. Escape really means break out of isolation. And in chapter 11, he really talks about fake intimacy is powerless and discouraging. A fake accountability group is discouraging because, well, it's fake. Need I say more? Hmm. 173. It is not enough to simply attend a small group or have an accountability partner. These relationships must be open and authentic. Lying, minimizing, shining in a brighter light, or rationalizing behavior will kill authentic relationships and over time lead to more isolation. So the one in recovery must be honest. The one chasing sexual integrity must be honest and real and be real instead of hiding the truth and creating a false reality. Each person needs someone with whom they can share everything without fear of being shamed. Dr. Ted Roberts, who has helped men find freedom from porn for over 30 years, you are only as sick as your secrets. The Bible tells us that confession starts the healing process. The Apostle James writes, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. There must be a radical commitment to be honest with oneself, God, and at least one other person. There must be a radical commitment to taking off masks. The sex addiction therapist told me about one of his clients, a middle-aged businessman with a porn addiction. Though the businessman was in a small group and met regularly with the therapist, he made little progress. The client could not go 10 days without a relapse, even after over a year of treatment. One day, the man finally confessed his secret fully. He had watched pornography. The shame and the self-hatred the secret brought him was unbearable. After receiving empathy and reassurance from his therapist, he also confessed to a small group. They showed him grace. Though they did not condone his actions, the empathy he received from them helped lift his shame, and he was able to receive God's forgiveness and forgive himself. This was the turning point in his recovery. If you want freedom, you must live in reality. Okay. Let's take a little bit of a 5-minute break. Stretch. Okay, so getting into doing more talk about small groups. You guys, we can be so fake, can't we? We have a very good ability of being fake. Anyone ever been fake?
No.
Ty's being fake right now. we can't be fake. We've got to be authentic people drawing in unsaved, isolated, and addicted. You know, this book is actually an answer to all kinds of addictions. The psychological research that Ted Shimmer has done in here, you could take his principles in here, you can apply it not just to porn, you could try to apply it to probably methamphetamines, heroin, cocaine, with a little adjustments. But the key in this thing is brace and the group, the authentic accountability group that it forms, that it builds. And we all know, because it says over and over in the Bible about being built up with one another. In order to beat specifically porn, we've got to get fed up and sick and tired of this. Because according to these stats, if they're half true, and we all know this in our own hearts, if these stats are half true, and guess what? They are true. There are some problems coming our way. And like I said at the outset, you're drafted. Mm-hmm. You lick this problem, you're drafted. You're required to build 4 or 5 guys up around you. And you got to lick this problem. And it's going to take a lot. I can still remember my small group, and I could say him by name. My brother, I tell you what, the first day, I can still remember the first day I saw my wife. This was years and years ago, walking out of my house with a handheld computer. It was an old laptop, walking out of my house to my brother's house. And I was with my buddy in my truck, and I was coming back, and I knew that my wife was taking that computer to my brother. And I knew what was on that computer. Mm-hmm. And I mean, her face was, Amy Shear was so livid. It was one of the worst days of my life. But Greg Shear, Jeff Axtell, Robbie Bivens, David Axtell, and now even my good buddy Matt Frost, my group, my authentic group. And even though I still can go to those guys to this day, yeah, one's my brother, But the bonds I formed with those guys, my brace was a little bit different, but a lot the same. I'm still with those guys to this day. And it's expanding. Learning to be real with a small group or close friends is essential. Learning to be real with a small group is essential to defeating porn completely. An addict is focused on themselves and the craving. A recovery, authentic Christian, is open and involved with others. Mm-hmm. Christian, let's see, Mark 10, 43 and 45. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be a slave for all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. In chapter 11, he begins to work from just recovering, you just being involved with the group for your recovery, you're also involved with this group for other people's recovery. It's not all about you. It's about your community around you too. 177. Let's see. I recently saw this in one of my groups. In the beginning, Ben was the only member who regularly called to check on the rest of the men. He prayed for them. He encouraged them in their progress, or when they confessed or were vulnerable. By the end, though Ben had influenced the group, they were each more others focused also. Ben found freedom before the rest, and his other centeredness helped propel his progress. His servant mindset helped his recovery and lifted the quality of the whole group. He was definitely more blessed by giving. Your authenticity with those around you, whether it's an official accountability group, propels us. God backs it up. Mm-hmm. The more authentic we are with one another, the more depth we have in our relationships, the more accountability, the more victory we have in our community. That's chapter 11. Mm-hmm. The opposite of addiction isn't sobriety, guys, mm-hmm. according to the Bible and Ted Shimmer. It's connection. Mm-hmm. It's community. The opposite of addiction isn't sobriety. It's connection.
Rat Pack.
Rat Park. I do like Rat Pack.
Rat Pack
can
kind of work.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Rat Pack might work.
We got more work. All right.
You were talking about earlier, right? Because, it could be basically you're within that, you're strengthening, bolstering up your own. Against addiction within a group, then you're kind of forming, those bonds with those guys. That's the leader aspect of that when you started
off. Oh yeah,
earlier, because we're all going to become, well, we're all leaders anyway, in one form or mm-hmm. another. We're leading our dog down the road. I mean,
over a little bit more than that.
Yeah, the idea though is to be equipped here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Within that, that's what that story kind of represents.
Yes.
Because he's more equipped in that now because he's learning. And it's kind of like us with learning the Bible. I mean, the more we learn about that together, we can bounce stuff off each other and try to see a better process maybe of getting through something too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you spend more time, as iron sharpens iron, you become more competent in holding one another to account. But he goes deeper in chapter 12. He goes even deeper than what we're talking. It's called chapter 12 is about negative emotions. He gets into this thing called emotional intelligence. What the heck? Emotional intelligence? Sounds like a woman chapter to me. Paige, all right. Let's see. A former pastor, John, said of his experience with porn, I learned at an early age to use porn to make myself feel good. After serving as a youth pastor for 6 years and a senior pastor for 20 years, this would come back to destroy my ministry. As I strained under the weight of pastoring a large church and trying to prioritize my marriage and 4 kids, I began using porn more and more to escape. I needed to get my fix, although it didn't fix anything. See, this guy had a different attachment to porn. It was like a relief to him. And this is what chapter 12 starts going into. It starts going into emotions. And it's pretty good. It's actually really good. Paige, he comes with a thing called emotional intelligence. Emotional intelligence, a subset of self-awareness, is a measure of someone's capacity to be aware of, control, express their feelings, as well as the skill to effectively handle interpersonal relationship. Simply put, self-awareness allows us to see who we are. Emotional intelligence enables us to relate and adapt accordingly. I may come home, I may watch the Cal Bears Saturday evening, and then I say I watch them Saturday morning. That's why I watch college football, guys. I could do a whole sermon, Joe, someday on why everyone should watch college football, because it's on Saturday and not on church day on Sunday. The NFL, what do we call that?
National Felon League.
The National, forget the NFL, you guys, go to college. But here's the thing about emotional intelligence. In the morning, if I watch the Cal Bears play and they lose, I used to be so bummed out. Doggone day. You could tell me we're going to Disneyland. I don't care, man. Cal lost. I don't care. Cal lost, man. It's a bummer.
That's many years, huh?
Yeah. It's rough being a Cal Bear fan, man. It's rough. It's rough. But I've matured in my emotional intelligence. And I don't let a Cal Bear loss, because I'd be very depressed this year. They're like 1-4. They barely beat Sac State. It was awful. It's been awful this year. Emotional intelligence is the ability to like separate the Cal Bear loss and go on with my day and say, this is over here. That doesn't affect my relationship with my wife or my kids. Okay. Emotional intelligence. Yeah. A chaotic house when you come down, when you come home from a hard day at work. Jonah, you had a hard day at work, been fighting fires. You come home and Kai and Judah are in a fight. Well, you don't have to go straight from the fire to blasting the kids. They're two separate incidences, right? Let's see what else. Passed over for promotion. That's work. Passed over for promotion. Dan should be a warden and I should be a lieutenant. But oh, well, we didn't make it. That's separate from my family. That's separate from my work. You know what I'm saying? Proverbs 14:18, the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways. Outgrowing porn requires deepening emotional intelligence and self-awareness. We men cannot be victims of emotions. I gave you my football analogy and stuff like that. My wife is actually in large part my emotional intelligence. Let me explain. I will come home sometimes, and Dan's here, and I'm sure Dan runs into these things. Sometimes my wife will say, I am not an inmate, Alan. Don't treat me that way. First of all, I don't treat you anything like an inmate. That's what I'm thinking in my head.
If you only knew.
But she's like my canary in the cave. Your families, your brothers, your sisters, your wife, your children, you blowing up on them, more than likely, is from being passed over for a promotion or your hard day at work. Ted Schirmer has a way of, it's called blasted. He has a way of identifying emotions so that we can more accurately see triggers. And so that we retarded emotional men, boy, that, and you are ADHD, bro. That is oh shiny right there.
Yeah, squirrel.
Yeah. So that we can accurately assess what the emotions that are going on in our life, so that we can also accurately combat triggers or emotional triggers to porn. That was a hard one for me to imagine, but as I read the book, it becomes more clear. David actually modeled this very well, and this is where I began to get it. So this is what I decided to hit on. David modeled how to deal with emotions well. In Psalms 139, 23, and 24, he said, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You guys, David was into opening up. I would have never known, or it would have never occurred to me so pointedly, had I never read this book, how other people, and even myself, how our emotions and mishandling our emotions, how we can seek refuge because of those, that dopamine path in our head, how we could seek refuge and think, oh, I deserve this. I need a break. I'm going to stare at this bikini for a little while. It's okay. Once I do it, this feeling, this draw will relent. He helps us, he encouraged us to help us identify these emotions that can do these things under another acronym called BLASTED. Has two S's, BLASSTED. It helps us identify the emotions. One is boredom. Boredom leads to porn. Two, loneliness. Loneliness leads to porn. Anxiety. Anxiety can lead to porn. Some guys seek refuge from anxiety in it. They do alcohol. They do drugs. Guess what, guys? Porn has the same effect. Did you guys ever see that one? Man. There's a graph in which, in this book, in which they tracked the highs, how fast you may go up with a methamphetamine, the high, the level of dopamine or the level of charge you get. It's like a steep mountain. It goes up and then it trails off. Meth is way higher. And then there's like cocaine. It's quick up, not as high as meth, and then it goes down. And then there's another one like heroin, up, and then it goes down. The interesting thing is, though porn never went all the way as high as the other one, porn stayed steady. The dopamine level stayed steady way longer. Those other ones went up, and they trailed off almost as fast as they came in. But porn, it goes up, and then it's a steady line going across. So believe you me, people seek out porn to settle anxiety, stress, self-doubt. He calls it ticked off. I like that, ticked off. He needed something for tea. Ticked off, exhausted. Oh, heck yeah, I could see that. Someone come home from a hard day. I'm exhausted. The last thing you need is to pour on some porn and make yourself depressed.
Yeah, when you're tired,
your willpower is not strong. And he talks about that. We can learn to seek our community when we get blasted. You guys, it's called getting blasted. When you get blasted, you got to seek your community. The negative emotions of the past can be present day triggers to medicate porn. Mm-hmm. We disarm these triggers by seeking, by pursuing community and accountability. Blasted, boredom, loneliness, anxiety, stress, self-doubt, ticked off, exhausted, depression. These are our engine light. And we can't, you know, when you ignore that engine light, you put, pretend like it's not there.
Put tape over it, right?
Yeah, you put tape over it. That's what Matt and I do. We tell like it doesn't exist. You guys know you're just asking for a bigger problem later. I mean, I'll go over it. Everyone slow down. Everyone write this down. Slow down. Write this down. It's called blasted with two S's. Boredom, loneliness, anxiety, stress, self-doubt, ticked off. He probably wanted to put pissed off, but it didn't work. Exhausted and depressed. Bro, what number do you need? I'll go back over it. It's okay. Boredom, loneliness, anxiety. I'm waiting. Stressed, or just put stress. Self-doubt. Ticked off. Who taught us how to spell doubt? That's just wrong.
The French.
Yeah, the French. They do it wrong all the time. Self-doubt. Self-doubt. Number six is ticked off.
Ticked off.
Seven is exhausted. Eight is depressed. Now keep this in mind, guys. I will not put it as eloquently as Ted Schimmer. So once again, buy the book. He eloquently puts how blasted actually applies to your life. Because I didn't know these things. I knew them, but not at this depth. Mm. Okay, going back to the engine light. You know you're asking for something bigger if you ignore the engine light.
The check engine light?
Yeah, the check engine
light. Oh, that light.
Yeah, the engine light. That's the engine light, the thing I try to ignore. All right.
I don't have one of those.
I want to reach under there and just drag and the seatbelt. Ding, 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 seatbelt. Ding, get out of here. I wear my seatbelt if I want.
You know, they call those idiot lights. Idiot lights. Idiot lights. When you do that, you see the little lights on your dashboard. They just light up. They don't really tell you what's going on. Just
there's
a light that lights up and you
got to
go find out.
So
don't be an idiot.
Exactly.
You're not looking.
Exactly. That's what we're talking about. We're talking. Okay. Okay. There you guys. Don't be an idiot and ignore blasted. Okay. All right. Here's what he has to say. Here's what he has to say about these emotions. Okay. Blasted. These emotions. Now I'm talking about boredom, loneliness, anxiety, stress, self-doubt, ticked off, exhausted, and depression. When it comes upon you and you're getting blasted, he wants you to identify the emotion. The first step a person takes in processing their emotion is to identify their emotion. In the above example from the Psalms, David identifies his negative feeling and anxiety. When people use blasted to regularly evaluate their emotions, he writes this, you guys, because we're emotionally retarded. We are. We should. I am. We should. It's an 80s word. It's okay. You guys. Yeah. I'm from the 80s. But he does this specifically to help us defend ourselves from feeling sorry for ourselves when you come across these emotions. When people get blasted, you need to evaluate your emotion. It helps them. It helps you start identifying your feelings more easily. Once your emotions are identified, people can take the next step. Mm-hmm. Determine the source of the emotion. When David was not clear about the source of emotion, he asked God for help. He asked God to help him determine if his anxiety was connected to something harmful within praying. I'd have never, this guy's so good. See if there, David says in Psalm 139:23, see if there is any hurtful way in me. He's asking God to deeply examine himself. Mm-hmm. Determine the source of the emotion. Trust God, not your medication. Not your medication, not porn, not alcohol, not anything. Number three, cast your cares on the Lord. Psalm 52:22. Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. And he will never let the righteous be shaken. Mm-hmm. Number four, anticipate your emotions. As you practice blasted, as you practice brace and you practice blasted, your emotional intelligence comes along. That sounds like contradicting, huh, Chuck? Emotional intelligence? But it's true, and he does a real good way. One of the men I led in a small group recognized his self-doubt, often triggered his porn use. Learning this enabled him to be proactive. One day, he had to work on a project with someone who intimidated him. What's this guy like? And caused him to doubt himself. He called his accountability partners. This is what really matters. He called his accountability partners beforehand and let them know, asking to be held accountable to report back at the end of the day. Simply articulating his vulnerability removed the power of the trigger and helped him avoid a relapse. According to a Barna Group survey, another prominent reason that people seek out porn, I just thought this was a cool tidbit, is boredom. This is especially true for younger single people. This is especially true for younger single people. When a person numbs their boredom with porn repeatedly, boredom becomes a trigger. Boredom is number one on the list of blasted. Number five, be aware of depleting your emotional tank. The men in my recovery group identified, okay, this was real interesting to me. Let me back up. You know, a lot of guys, we call it in prison a program. A lot of people do a program. They have a program. They get up at 6 o'clock. They do 100 burpees. They eat. They get ready. They wash up. They do a bird bath. They go outside. They exercise by running around the track. Then they go to work. They have a program. They depend on that program. If they lose that program, then they lose their mind. For some men, and in some ways, even for myself, if we get off our program, 8 hours of sleep, if you get behind in your work, if you don't connect with your wife, whatever that may be, if you don't connect with your friends, young men, if you get off your program, that can become a trigger for porn use. And it's emotional intelligence that is our goal, to identify these things through brace, through being blasted, that we are able to defend ourselves in these things. The last one, number six, is regularly process your emotions with others. This helps you guys become emotionally intelligent. Does that make sense?
Makes sense. It's not easy to do.
It's not easy to do.
It's the number one valuable soft skill in business work. Emotional intelligence.
Emotional intelligence.
If you can read your own emotions and others, you will do well.
Okay, guys, on this graph that we passed out, if you take a look at it, at the top is restoration of this heel. You got a pen? Here's a pen. Throw me that pen, Justice. All right. All right. Let's imagine you guys draw a boulder at the top for what you have. Sorry, Justice. You can't do it. Look at. See, there's a boulder at the top. You guys see that boulder at the top?
Yeah.
Okay. That boulder at the top, when you're in restoration mode, you're in good shape. But if you let that boulder get too far down that slope, what's going to happen?
Relax.
It's going to pick up. The later and later you identify a trigger, the later and the later you identify when you're being blasted, mm-hmm. the harder and harder it is to keep yourself from going into relapse mode. So the idea is to become so in tune with bracing, B-R-A-C-E, and so emotionally intelligent with blasted that you can recognize the triggers and you can recognize all the emotions that may cast you into temptation. Because once that boulder starts going down that hill, it picks up steam more and more, and it becomes hard to stop. Mm-hmm. Thank you, brother. Mm-hmm. How you overcome that when you're on that, you guys, you got to stop. Mm-hmm. You got to take a breath. You got to breathe deeply. You got to remember the truth. You got to ask God for help. You got to call an accountability partner. And you got to escape the situation and pursue community. Get out of isolation. This is how we be. And though it sounds like I'm talking about a porn addict that has to look at porn every day, that's not what Ted Shimmer's talking about, nor am I. For we make a covenant with our eyes not to look lustfully upon a woman. I remember I was on my front lawn. And I was doing stuff, mowing my lawn and working. I like to dink around. I really enjoy that now as I get older. And I don't have a big lawn. I hope I get a big lawn someday. I got this riding lawnmower now, guys. This is bad. And my lawn is small, but I still use my riding lawnmower. But I'm out front and I'm doing, I was working on my sprinklers because I put in a Supreme. I mean, these sprinklers are top notch. They're top. I put in the system and these are good, but I'm working on this. And there's a girl, attractive girl that comes walking down Justine. Justine is the street where Nick Matau lives. And she comes down the street and I just take a look. And I've been practicing in this book. It's called Bouncing My Eyes. And I bounce my eyes immediately and I don't look back, but I'm doing my deal. And then I see this truck go by with loud music. It's a moving truck. And they go down the street. By this time, I watched the truck go down because I'm reading the words on the side, starving students, and they had something else on there. And it's going down the street, and they stop. Right? And they stop right where that girl is. And by then, she had made her way. My blocks aren't that big. She had made her way to the next street over called Crusader. I'd say it's about 60 yards down. I'm going to think football. I used to play football. 6 yards down. And she had enough time to walk down. The van stops. And these guys are just gawking at her in a complete inappropriate way. And in that moment, you know how you could think really fast. Do these guys think that that's going to work? Is what came across in my head. I mean, like, do guys really think this works?
So you hopped on your riding mower.
I wish. But the story goes like this. She's at the corner of Patterson and Crusader, and she immediately, smart girl, bam! It's like a soldier, a Marine. Forget the soldier, a Marine. Boom! Because Carl would want me to say Marine. Yes. She takes off to the right, and she's walking her dog. And these guys, they're like insulted that the girl isn't engaging with them. And I thought, what do you guys think? What a bunch of dummies. And they drive off. They are so upset. They think that she's the jerk. Who's the jerk, you guys? Our goal is not even to look lustfully upon a woman. And after that, after we accomplish that, it's the next thing. and the next thing and the next thing. Our goal is to not act like a creepo, not to give a woman a creep at all, but to treat them well and respectfully. Our goal keeps going up and up and up. There's not an end to it. Brace and blasting. And that's what I have for you guys. That's what the Lord has for you. Anything to add, Ty?
Yeah. What step of brace do you think is hardest?
Calling and being authentic.
I was thinking that you can probably do the other steps and try to skip the call. You know? Yeah. And then the third time you finally go, dang, I better call. That's the thing that's probably going to piss off your accountability partners, because that's two times you didn't call, you should have called. And it may be the thing that takes it from 3 to 5 to 7 to whatever, because now you start going, geez, like, well, I should have called less. I should have called the time, but I should have called the time for that. I think that call is a tough one.
Where is it in here? It's interesting.
But it's so important because it keeps the problem small.
Calling is, he says in here, he talks about calling is the hardest part. Establishing the accountability with one another. With my group, I tell the guys twice a week. Ted Schimmer, guess what, guys? He says three times. Call three people. Three times a week.
Nine calls?
Yeah. Hey, guys, isn't three times three? I know in prison, 3 plus 3 is 33, but I think here, 3 times 3 is 9. Wow.
That's exponential. No,
yeah. My point is, guys,
what's the three calls? What do you mean?
Okay, so.
If nothing's going on, still make three calls? Or
so in as so
there's always something going on.
Yeah, go ahead, Schwa. Go ahead, Schwa.
So what's that you step forward and embrace?
Escape the situation.
Okay. You have to do all those things. So as soon as you breathe, you repeat, you go through all the acronym letters, right? Before you exhale on E.
Whoa! We're gonna suffocate, bro.
The way that my accountability structure is we got a group of guys, you got like five guys, you call two of them, you know, during the week. It doesn't matter which two, just make sure you call two of them, check in on, and you should be getting a couple calls yourself. But when you check up, you ask how they've been doing, if they've been struggling with porn or like sexual immorality, how their thought life is. After that, you know, hash out what you need to hash out, and then at the end you pray together, and at the very end you ask, did you lie to me?
Good.
At all. Yeah, and then sums it up. But so that, you know, a couple times a week is pretty helpful.
Yeah. And I remember that question when I was in my own, and still am, that question haunts you. Did you lie to me? Did you lie to me? So with that, that's all I have, man. That's
awesome.
Yeah, he says three times in the book.
No, but did you lie to me? Is that in this book?
I don't remember right now, but there's so much information in it. I don't remember all the information.
Yeah. Get the book.
Get the book. That was Promise Keepers. Yeah, I think that's where I got it from. I started back then. In fact, the group I was with kind of came out of Promise Keepers.
Cool. Comments, questions, concerns.
Yeah, one thought.
Thoughts.
In college, part of my story, I'll just say real quick, is when I was 15, you know, I just went through repenting and God helping me. And that was helpful to not have to go through high school addicted to porn. Right? So I had it early on. When I got to college, I really godly roommate. Helping guys, had a group of five guys, and one of them was a wingmate. And he told me one day after a few months of being in this group, just like you talked about, he said, you know, before I came to college, I was like you, I had actually never struggled before in life. Immature, I guess. I just never thought about it, never heard about it, never knew about it. And then they go around this group and they hold up with their fingers how many times they masturbated that week. Mm-hmm. And some guys are like, taking their socks off. And he said, being in the group started on porn. Mm-hmm. And that really hit me. I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. Something about being in a group of guys who are constantly saying, I'm failing at doing this every week. Mm-hmm. Bring some people down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't have a point in saying this other than just saying it.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it was something I heard somebody say once. And
I would say,
go ahead.
I was just going to say accountability and community is even the answer to that guy. Regardless, he probably wasn't sharing that he was doing on the side for a little while. This little excerpt says, this is Ted Schirmer. I have seen a correlation between those who stay stuck in their porn struggle and being stuck in the porn struggle and how long they delay confessing a relapse. Those who are most serious about finding freedom typically confess as soon as they can after acting out. Those who wait too long are more likely to not confess at all.
Yes.
Anyone else?
Yeah, that's kind of why we started this initially, the first class week, first session, talking about Paul in the Romans 7, where he talks about the fact that, well, I didn't know that I was sinning, right? Because the law didn't expose it to me at that time. And so just talking about it, I know I think even one of the football players,
Atwater. Oh, really? Steve Atwater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was mentioned in there as a pastor who hadn't struggled with porn.
Yep.
One day decided, well, I don't know what this is. Started looking up and got hooked on it. Destroyed his ministry, destroyed his family. And so, yeah, the curiosity, because it is, it's our nature. Right, we're told don't do this, and immediately, oh, really? Well, why not? Yeah, right. I shouldn't eat from this tree. Why not? Did he really say so? Right. So, for our hope and talking about this is not to encourage you to seek out those things that are detrimental to your walk to the Lord, detrimental to your spirituality, detrimental to your impact in the community and here in the church and your walk in your life and walk with your spouses for those guys who may get married in the future.
Or future spouses.
Future spouses, yeah.
Yeah, that's something I wanted to comment on too, because we talked about it a little bit already here, and that's the fact that when you're immersed in this addiction, it's going to be even that much harder later on when you do get married or that when you start courting a woman, and that trying to fight through that on top of courting it, you're just in, it's just a massive undertaking at that point. So find a way at this point, like through what we're doing here, to, if you have an issue with this, to eliminate that now, because it leads to all kinds of other garbage that you don't want to be immersed in.
Paul says when you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. Mm-hmm. And that's what all this brings. Corruption in ways you can't even begin to understand or know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Again, there's a lot of experience here in this room, that good, bad, and ugly. So try to tap into that if you're dealing with anything like this, because there's a plethora, just a plethora of information here in this book that a lot of people in this room have already experienced. And I'm sure everybody would be willing to share in a smaller group at some point too. So. Mm-hmm. That would be my advice.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of jump on the idea of emotional connection, the idea that coming into your marriage, I think a lot of us can lie to ourselves and say, especially when you're young and you're not in a relationship, you don't have a spouse yet,
and you just convince yourself it's just to satisfy a physical need that your body has. Right? But that's not having emotional intelligence, because what your body is wanting is that emotional connection with your spouse that you don't have yet. And that will never be satisfied through that release. And then there's this convincing in your mind that, well, that'll go away once I actually find that spouse. But the reality is you've made that connection now, that when you're feeling upset emotionally about not having the connection you want, this is how to make yourself feel better about it.
Precisely. Yeah.
So then once you get married and you have conflict with your spouse, which you will, then you're going to turn back to your old friend to make you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't just go away, because it was never really all about the physical response in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to satisfy that emotional need you have, you turn back to this, and then you have to feel, because then once that physical need is satisfied, the emotional gap is still there.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't go away. So being able to identify that sooner will help out with a lot of problems later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's great.
So, there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Amen.
There's a happy relationship with your wife and your family and your friends and your kids.
Mm-hmm. Rat Park.
Rat Park.
Rat Park. Just, when you say that, you just got to start popping on the table. Rat Park.
Ty, that's it, man.